Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Journalists have asked me what is the common point between football and theatre, but they are completely different. We are both live, that's it. So said Frank LaBeouf, star of Chelsea, France, Theatre, and as you may just be learning, the Stephen Hawking biopic, The Theory of Everything.
The only way of winning him off the ventilator will be to give him a tracheotomy. A hole in the neck.
You see, LaBeouf is now an actor, and he is one of many footballers to turn their attention to stage and screen. Who can forget Pelé, Bobby Moore and Ozzy Ardiles in Escape to Victory?
I want to play.
You can't play like that.
I feel good, I feel better. I must play.
Ref, he's coming back on.
Eric Cantona's acclaimed performance in Elizabeth.
Vous devez comprendre qu'elle est une femme.
Darren Bent voicing soccer player number two in an episode of Phineas and Ferb.
Is it my imagination or is that a Football X7 stadium?
It's your imagination. That's just a mailbox. But there is one on this side of the bus.
I forgot that one.
I didn't know that one.
You want David Beckham as an Arthurian knight, as directed by Guy Ritchie? You can have it.
Where do you think I want you? Hands on the hill, stupid.
You want to see Neymar recruited into a top secret team of Black Ops special agents? It's out there.
São 7:30 da manhã.
So? Lunch at dinner time somewhere in the world. Come on, eat up.
You want Ian Wright trying to track down a Nazi gun with mythical powers on a motorbike? I promise you that also exists.
Yeah, thanks, Six. Appreciate it. Listen, the goods are here. No sign of Axel. Where is he?
Such is the magic of cinema that we've even seen Ally McCoy play for Celtic. So put on your 3D glasses and take them off again, because we don't really do that anymore. Get your popcorn and join us for the Football Ramble's Guide to Footballers Acting. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Oh,
Ah, gentlemen, here we are once again, rubbing my hands together. I want to ask you all, what is your favourite acting appearance by a footballer? Jim Campbell.
I'm going to go with a weird one, just because it's so weird that it exists at all. Fitz Hall is in The Fifth Element.
Yeah, he is.
We've discussed before. It's really strange. I think his mum knew the casting director, and he's quite young in it.
Oh, I can't do it. I'm not going to do the whole thing. I can't do the whole thing.
Yeah, but it was before he was a footballer.
I completely forgot that happened.
Yeah. It's so bizarre, isn't it? Yeah, it was as a kid. He's got quite a prominent bit of screen time in it as well. Yeah. It's like when they're in some sort of ancient Egyptian tomb or whatever.
Are you talking about?
No, Fitz Hall in The Fifth Element. What do you expect me to be talking about?
Yeah. I haven't seen it for 25 years.
Well, when you watch it again, Fitz fucking Hall's in it.
So it's before he became a footballer.
Yeah, yeah. He's a
young lad, isn't he? Yeah.
Precocious talent.
Oh, yeah. Came from the future.
Yeah.
Went back in time, became a footballer. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There we are, you see.
Yeah.
What a start.
No one can beat that.
No, I don't think they can. I think Pete can have a good go at it, though.
We obviously did a couple of years ago the old film club, didn't we?
Yeah. A lot of crossover, that was hugely enjoyable to do.
And one of my favourite titles was the film Hot Shot. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that, yeah.
Young lads playing in what I think it was just after sort of Nazzle started to sort of grind to a halt, I think, back in the day. A footballer travels to Brazil to meet Pele, who's now a farmer, and he just wants to learn how to do a bicycle kick. He's a professional footballer, and he doesn't know how he can possibly do a bicycle kick.
It's a notable film for a few reasons. The top one, clearly being...
Very homoerotic.
It's abysmal.
Yeah. Secondly, I think Pete's...
It's one of the most homoerotic movies ever been made.
It's glorious.
And what makes it interesting is that it's obviously not intended to be like that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And in my...
obviously it's hot in Brazil, let's take our tops off.
Yeah, well, exactly. The only thing I've got in my memory of it now is the young lad and Pele, who's an older gentleman then, with their tops off, just chopping sugarcane down.
Yeah, exactly.
And getting sweaty together.
He's helping. They're helping in farming.
It's almost like an ersatz Mr. Miyagi Daniel LaRusso type.
It's very much. And the lad's called Jimmy as well. They're always called Jimmy.
I have to briefly go back to what Pete said about the overhead kick, because there is a moment where they're playing football as if it's like a proper erotic dance.
Mm.
And then Pele just, the ball just goes up in the air for some reason. Yeah. And Pele just does an overhead kick and he goes, "Oh, I always wondered how you did that."
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Have you seen him do it before?
Watch him do it.
You've seen him do it again.
It's not like he quickly got a step ladder and jumped from it.
Imagine at that point in the film, Pele just went, "What do you mean?"
Yeah.
Sorry, Jimmy. I know you've been helping me with my sugarcane farming, but I mean, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Sugar pie for dinner again,
it's not like
Jimmy.
It's not like I've still got a quadratic equation on the board, is it?
Sugar pie for dinner. That sounds like a sexy sequel. Yeah.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Hot Shot 2, Sugar Pie for Dinner would be great. It would be great. Like American Pie, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Go on.
He's a guy, and that's also called Jim.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's the influence, you see.
Exactly.
You've got to judge a film on not just its watchability, but also in
cast
the
a very long shadow.
As one of the reviews said at the time was, it's difficult to justify spending so much of it as you do here watching Pele act and Youngs play soccer.
Yeah.
You'd
yeah.
rather see Pele play soccer and Jim Youngs act. No.
I wouldn't rather see Jim Youngs act.
No, he's terrible.
Yeah, he's not even good at that bit.
No.
Luke Moore.
I am going to go for the following for a couple of reasons. One, because I was quite pleasantly surprised by it when I watched it yesterday, knowing we're going to be doing this.
Mm.
And second, because it will probably quite annoy Pete Donaldson.
Mm.
In 2014, I think. Ooh. I think it was 2014.
Recent. In this
they brought
chat.
Back Only Fools and Horses. AKA Pete Donaldson's favourite show.
Favourite show, yeah.
For
yeah.
sport for sport relief, right? And the scene, it's like
funny,
an elongated...
It's a funny idea.
Exactly.
What funny idea.
What could be better than that?
Nothing.
You know? And...
well, Corden's got to be involved for it to be funny.
Well, Corden's not in it.
I know.
Yeah, Corden's not in it from what I've seen. And I've only seen what I presume to be the entirety of it, which is like a 10-minute clip, and it's set mostly in a cafe and in the market outside. It's Delbo and Rodney in the cafe, and they're having a chat, and the conceit is a few minutes into the chat. Have any of you guys seen this?
I'm sure I would have done, but you're going to have to jog my memory.
The conceit is a few minutes in, there's someone sat next to them at the table reading the big newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns out to be David Beckham.
Shut up.
Now, I know what you're thinking. David Beckham's going to be absolutely fucking terrible.
Mm.
And he was very self-deprecating about himself afterwards, saying, I don't think I'm going to make much of an actor kind of thing. Because he's, seems like, I mean, that Qatar thing aside, we talk about that another time, but he seems generally like quite a nice guy.
Yeah.
But he's not actually that bad in it. Like this one line he delivers, which is obviously "Shut up, you tart."
Right.
Which is as bad as you can imagine.
That's, that's David Beckham's catchphrase, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was always saying that on the field of play.
But he sends himself up a bit, and he doesn't do too badly. Okay. And I get the impression they probably did quite a lot of takes, which is fine because none of us here are actors. So I mean, Jim aside, Jim can actually probably act. Mm. But it's not too bad. And he's also at the absolute apotheosis of his handsomeness.
Mm. Mm.
So next to like a droopy-faced Nicholas Lyndhurst and quite an old David Jason, national treasure as they may be, he just looks amazing.
Yeah.
And to cap the whole thing off at the end, he's standing leaning on one of those crates that they use to bring stock in, like a wheeled kind of container thing.
Yeah.
You see them at supermarkets when they're stocking the shelves, those kind of things. He's leaning against one. A little boy comes over and says, "Are you David Beckham?" He says, "Yeah, I am, but don't tell anyone." He says, "Will you sign this ball?" So he goes down and signs the football. As he gets down to sign the football, someone moves the container. Yeah. Guess what happens next?
He falls over.
Little boy falls. No?
No, he recreates Pete's favourite comedy scene ever of Del Boy falling through the bar.
Yeah.
And he does it very well.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Shut up, you tart," as he says it.
Damn you.
Sorry for the long answer.
That's fine. That's fine. David Beckham. Beckham's been in a few things. We'll come on to...
But I couldn't go down the route of the movies we'd seen before during that film club because of quite severe post-traumatic stress disorder.
No, that's very understandable.
And so I had to find a new one.
Very understandable. I'm going to go for Stan Collymore in Basic Instinct 2, Risk Addiction.
Gets a handy then dies.
Yeah. Does she not throw him in the Thames?
Oh, I don't know.
I think, and the scene that I saw, I could, yeah.
What an end.
In a way.
And this is maybe a completely stupid question, but what's the reason Stan Collymore...
Stan likes handies.
Yeah. Well, I think, was the scene where he was getting a handy, as you say?
a little treat.
Was it in a car?
It was in a car,
So they've gone like for like.
Yeah, but I don't understand what the point of that is. Basically, the casting agents and the director gone, Stan Collymore's done this in real life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let's inexplicably put him in a movie.
It sounds like...
Quite possibly.
It sounds like the script needed editing late and the final draft was finished after everyone involved had been awake for about 3 days. Do you know what I mean? For that to seem... like the start of the movie as well, for that to seem viable.
She drives the whole car. I'm watching it. She drives the whole car into, I don't know whether it's the Thames or not, but certainly she lands it in the water and it all finishes there, basically.
So she does this deliberately to him?
I think it is. Yeah, it might be the Thames.
Because she's a killer.
Mixed
she's
signals.
Straight
in the water. And I'm not really sure how this ends, but presumably she gets out and Stan Collymore is in David Jones's locker. Having to think about what he's done.
David Jones' locker, which also sounds a bit like slang for a wank. Doesn't it?
I forget the name of the character. It was like, what was it? Just a Frank somebody. He was a footballer.
Right.
It was like Frankie Money. Or do you know what I mean? Like, he was really quite lazy.
But he's also got David Morrissey in it. He's like a good actor.
Yeah, I know. Well, Sharon Stone is the lead. Well, okay, fair enough.
I mean, Sharon Stone's a star, right?
Big shazzer.
It's also got David, just looking at it now, it's also got David Thewlis in it. He's also a big actor.
My goodness.
Bloody hell. The world just, what year was it?
2006.
It was a long time after the first one, wasn't it? It was a really bizarre sequel to ever happen at all.
2006 was like feels like a much more weird, innocent time.
Yeah, Kevin Franks was his name.
Okay.
Kevin Franks.
So David Morrissey plays the psychiatrist tasked with evaluating novelist Catherine Tramell, once again in trouble with the law, and Scotland Yard get involved.
So it's
filmed in Britain.
But she's a serial killer, and it's described as once again in trouble with the law. Lucky old...
Is it me or the Hollywood film writers and script writers really lean into the idea of using the phrase Scotland Yard?
Yeah.
No, I know New Scotland Yard or whatever is where the police are based or whatever, but it doesn't really feel like it gets talked about that much in real life.
And when you're a kid and you watch the news and that Scotland Yard sign sort of spins around, it's fucking tiny in real life. Absolutely tiny.
How would you know?
Because I walked past it and went, that's absolutely tiny.
You've defended many of them. Your role as a public defender.
As I'm being wheeled in under a towel.
You've got to be careful when you say things are tiny. I remember someone saying to me, the Eiffel Tower's really small. And I went there and I was like, bloody isn't.
It's not, no.
That's
no,
very impressive.
Say what is that? Statue of Liberty's a lot smaller than people think.
No, not for me.
Okay.
Because I heard it was really small, so I was expecting something a little tiny little lady.
For normal people, it's not quite small.
For big people like you, maybe.
Yeah,
because you are very mighty.
Thank you very much indeed.
But, gentlemen, footballers in films, and we want to talk about footballers who have properly acted, not just appeared as themselves in goal and all that kind of nonsense, you know. Proper performances in films where they've acted. Because some obviously lend their voices. You know, you can think of Olivier Giroud with one of the Spider-Man films.
Yeah, didn't know that happened.
Yeah. Anderson Iniesta is
didn't know that
voice.
Had happened. What did he do? What's he
do? Similar voice acting.
Similar voice acting. And Antoine Griezmann did one. I forget where. But we want to talk about proper acting performances, not just appearing as themselves.
Fine. I was going to say voice acting is proper acting.
Yeah, okay. But so we've covered that. There you go.
Yeah, fine.
So don't bother tweeting us. we start with the gold standard, of course. Vinnie Jones.
Is it the gold standard?
I think Jim Campbell.
Well, I think the. What's worth pointing out with Vinnie Jones and a few others that we'll come on to is that it's very difficult to be a professional footballer at any level. Mm. It's also very, very difficult to be a professional actor at any level. And he has done both of those
things. Because you can be sneering
towards
Jones.
He has a genuine acting career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can be sneering, go, oh, well, he's not an actor in the same way as others. But if you look at some of the people he starred against, starred alongside with, I know that a lot of these films are not great and blah, 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 blah. But of course, Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels is where he made his debut. He won an Empire Award for Best Debut and the film was nominated for 3 BAFTAs. They won one. And then in Snatch, of course, he was cast alongside Brad Pitt and Benicio Del Toro, I think I haven't watched those films for a while, but I think Snatch would probably appeal to a wider audience. It's a little bit more potentially well-rounded. Without sort of reviewing the films, we're talking about
about Vinnie Jones, and I think Jim makes a really fair point to establish the fact that, you know, clearly our job is to sit in this studio chip off about people.
Yes.
And I think we're quite good at that. I'm not disrespecting Vinny for doing what he's done.
Mm. What about that Darth monologue at the end of Gone in 60 Seconds?
That's crap.
Yeah.
That's crap.
But that's not his fault, really. That's the
he
never
doesn't talk
that.
For the whole film, does he?
Yeah, and then at the end, spoilers.
Yeah.
And he does spoil it.
Like The Great Dictator.
No, same principle. But like in no way is it like the Charlie Chaplin classic, The Great Dictator.
I was about to say, I haven't seen it, but I know it's not the same.
And I think also you can spoiler a film that came out in the year 2000.
Yeah, it's on you at that point, isn't it?
Yeah. So what I was just going to say was, completely fair enough that Jim starts it off by saying that, but I have watched both those films recently, and I think he is probably better in Snatch.
Oh, he is better.
Yeah, but I don't actually think he's that good in either of them.
Who was the other footballer that appeared in, I think it was Lockstock, very briefly, as a doorman?
It's Sol Campbell.
It's big Sol Campbell.
Yeah. Sol Campbell plays a doorman in the card game in Lockstock.
That's right. But
apparently we're not talking about the film, we're talking about Vinnie Jones.
We are. Well, we're talking about footballers in films, and there's one for you.
So my favourite performance in that is Sol Campbell.
It's a silent role
for about 10 seconds.
On the extras, he does a big monologue.
I just think, I'm not sure if I'm going to articulate this very well, but so bear with me.
Have a go, bruv.
I think, I remember when it came out, I saw Lock, Stock at the cinema. I remember Vinnie Jones, it being a big deal that Vinnie Jones was in it. And I remember a lot of people wanting him to be good.
Yeah.
And to me, that is always what it's set against, which if you actually watch it now away from all that nonsense, fair enough, he's against good actors in Snatch. I mean, Brad Pitt's brilliant in Snatch, and Del Toro is obviously always, you know, usually always brilliant, and there's a lot of good actors involved. It's to his credit that he gets through it and he doesn't ruin the movie or anything, but I wouldn't say that there was anything from those performances where you think, okay, he's going to be a brilliant actor.
But the fact that he wasn't as talented a footballer and he made his name being a fucking hatchet man on the field, does that kind of add to the transition into acting?
He looks great. He's really well cast, I think.
But I think the fact that he's that old school kind of rogue, isn't he?
He's just a bit like East London kind of gangstery kind of vibe to him, which he had on the field. And that's why it transfers over. Mm-hmm. If he was a more talented footballer, possibly like your David Beckham's, if you were a bit more like that, I don't think he would have translated personally.
No, but I think it's that underdog story, isn't it? For someone, somebody like Vinnie Jones then getting into Hollywood. And there's that amusing kind of thing of seeing him hobnobbing with someone like Brad Pitt, as he did at Walthamstow Greyhound Racing Stadium when he went down there, because he loves the dogs, does old Vin.
I've never heard it be called that before. I just thought it was called the dog track.
Yeah, well,
Walthamstow Greyhound Racing Stadium.
Yeah, true enough, yeah. I just for international listeners,
what
I
Kate
thought,
Mason would call it.
Well, I thought that I would set the scene properly. But yeah, he took Brad Pitt to the dogs, so to speak.
Yeah.
And apparently everyone thought it was a Brad Pitt lookalike.
Yeah.
Because they thought, there's no way that's older. So Bradley.
isn't that quite a common reaction from people to see someone really famous in normal life?
But I think that
person really looks like so and so.
But the fact he's with Jones at the dogs. Yeah. I think that's why people thought, nah, come on. And I think that goes into your point, Pete, how people kind of wanted Vinnie Jones to do well because there's an element of all, I don't know what he's representing.
Oh, he's an everyman. Like, we've all got on a plane, slapped a passenger, pissed, and had your guns taken off us.
Exactly. Yeah.
By Hartfordshire Council.
There we are, you see.
Yeah. We've all done it.
That's why you moved to it.
That's why I moved out.
Well, let's talk about a more, I suppose, maybe too cultured for his own good chap, Eric Cantona. So if we're talking gold standard, Cantona's got to be in there as well.
So I haven't actually seen...
Have you seen Looking for Eric?
No. I told you I haven't seen any of the Eric Cantona ones.
Why?
I don't know.
You've not seen The Overeater, in which he dons a fat suit.
I've seen the period drama where he plays the French ambassador. What's
Elizabeth.
That called?
Yeah,
which is the one where he gets his old boy out?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Is it a porn star or something?
Maybe.
He gets his Willie out.
Was it his actual Willie?
He was a stunt Willie.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The thing with Cantona, it's similar to Jones. If you look at his filmography, he's still working. He makes a couple of movies a year.
But he's
in some
decent
in
Looking
for Eric. He's a proper actor now.
Some critics say Cantona is a better actor than a footballer, and that's saying something. He's not, though, is he?
No, of course not. That's what
I'm saying. People want him to play.
Yeah, people want to be good. They want them to be good.
I think that's true to a point, but to then establish a proper second career, even if it's not as an A-lister, is impressive. You only get so many goes at being a novelty, and in fact, I think the stunt casting can go against you at times.
But I think, and your point about Vinnie Jones is that to make it as an actor is very, very difficult. And I understand that you say, well, he's a bit of a big name. Well, that actually can go against you.
I completely agree with both of you saying that. I think it's fair.
But Cantona has, you know, he's been in a lot of films, and so is his fellow countryman Frank LaBeouf, who was in the Oscar-nominated film The Theory of Everything, which, like, that's a proper big old production.
It's won the World Cup and been in an Oscar-nominated movie. That's some going, isn't it?
Yeah, he didn't win the Oscar, though.
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
no.
But that's fine. I think
you're not going to get it for 3 minutes in a film, really. You really got to do something.
Best World Cup winner turned actor award.
The scene he's in
Frank LaBeouf again.
The scene he's in is really strange as well. It's when they're talking about turning off Hawking's life support potentially, and he seems really pro. Like, no, I can't. It's going to be talking to his wife. He's like, this would be awful for you.
Just kill him.
honestly, God, he's probably not going to survive. And she's like, absolutely not.
Do you know what the bit I found weird is when...
Go on!
I don't feel like I need to watch it now. Well, yeah. Brilliant reenactment.
Absolutely not, no.
Well, he does all the voices, fine.
Hello, I'm Frank LaBeouf. Yeah. kill your husband.
I'm not killing my husband. I don't fucking want to.
I found it quite odd as a doctor, whenever he went to sort of, you know, do anything, Fabian Barthes' head would appear and he'd kiss the top of it and then that he'd crack on. But there we are. We've all got our quotes.
Imagine that. It cuts to Stephen Hawking. He's being played by Fabian Barthez.
He's about to check him over. Hang on. There we go. No. Good luck.
I can't say that. Carry on.
Go on then. Ali McCoist.
Yeah.
Let's come back home.
So my major beef with Ali McCoist, so A Shot of Glory. Yeah. If you haven't heard of it.
Alongside Robert Duvall and Michael Keaton.
Exactly.
I hated this movie.
Yeah. If you haven't heard the Film Club episode, you should go back and listen to it. We did it during lockdown.
It's not even in the top five worst films we saw in that bloody
No,
club.
It's not. That's fine. Let's not do that again.
No.
But I do have a point to make here.
Yeah,
and the point I've got to make is that Ali McCoist does a thing that I've never seen anyone do before in a movie, and it somehow makes the edit where when he's in a scene, when he stops speaking, he thinks the acting bit's over.
Mm.
So he just carries on about his normal day.
And just relaxes.
So he doesn't react to anything.
Mm.
So
it's goes to sit down.
It's just a weird
line again.
He just turns off after he's seen his bit. And I don't think you can do
checking
that as an actor.
Yeah.
I like phones in those days.
I like that in that movie he plays for Kilnockie FC.
Yeah.
It's like they've had a fun day making up Scottish towns.
Definitely. Yeah.
Glum Bastard. Can we get away with Glum Bastard?
Yeah. But I think that's probably Robert Duvall practicing his Scottish accent, he, talking about McCoist not knowing, Robert Duvall, right, a critically acclaimed actor, magnificent actor, in that film, every time he speaks with a Scottish accent, when he comes to an end of a sentence, he looks confused, as if he's looking around for somebody to go, yeah, no, that was fine, Robert, you got it right that time.
Yeah.
Every thing that comes out of his mouth is incredible. However, though, Luke, and maybe Jim, if you're critical of McCoist's appearance, role in that,
You're at loggerheads with Kevin Costner once again because he said he is a truly remarkable talent. It's rare that a sportsman can act, but Ally McCoy's is a natural. He has an Olivier-type quality.
Waterworld's Kevin Costner.
Naughty.
Why?
That's
no.
naughty.
No, it's not.
It is naughty. He's been in a lot better stuff than that.
Basically,
yeah, not since, though, has he?
Yeah, he has since.
I don't care.
His downfall had begun by the time he was saying that Ally McCoist was like Olivier.
Come on.
Being critical of Kevin Costner's acting career, you're right, whilst we're having this chat.
I'm being critical of what he said.
All right, fine.
And that
Pete Donaldson, come on, let's have a bit of light here. What do you reckon?
Waterworld.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, well, that's the end of that then.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
So you want to put McCoist in the kind of the not so good category. So let's open that category and explore it a bit more. We go back to David Beckham.
Oh, David.
And Guy Ritchie, of course, the director of Lock, Stock and Snatch, when they were both involved in King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. He cast David Beckham in that film. And I've not seen this film, I have to say, but it's fair to say Beckham's at his wooden best.
Yeah, he's got about six lines. He's also wearing prosthetics as well. He's got some scarring and like he's got a different nose, which is really strange. Because
I'll do it, but what a different nose.
Yeah, it's the most recognisable face in the world in some regards. So, but the lines are so, so wooden. And this isn't really a spoiler. There's a bit in the King Arthur movie where King Arthur has to try and pull the sword out of the stone.
Yeah. Right, so it is 2,000-year-old folktale. Yeah. I think you can spoiler it.
But it's the pinnacle of that story, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is the most important part in that story. And then David Beckham's suddenly there.
Yeah.
I use both your hands to try and pull it out of stony slag.
Yeah. But it's so jarring.
That sounds a bit like your Frank LeBeuf.
Jimmy's just there on hand to get another assist, is he not?
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's when a director, it doesn't have to do that.
No, it's a really good point, because basically it's a crucial part. So it makes the gimmick of it a lot more pronounced.
Yes, right? and to just suddenly go, everyone suddenly, as you say, the climax of the film, here we go, this is what we're all here for. Is that David Beckham? It is David Beckham. What? You've suddenly burst the bubble.
Yeah, he's playing like a knight, isn't he? Mm. And he's not a nice one. He's a knob. He's being a dick to King Arthur. And
it's
weird to see him as an antagonist. It doesn't quite work.
So you don't want to disrespect King Arthur.
There's a scene in Game of Thrones, isn't there, with Ed Sheeran?
Really drags you out of it as well.
Yeah, and it's crap.
Is he playing his guitar?
Yeah, he is. He literally is. Like a folk
I'll piss off.
Yeah, but like, the point be, at least that's like probably a scene they don't even need to have.
Yeah.
Like, it's just when she's travelling somewhere and she sees them on the way. It's very inconsequential.
Yeah.
So at least that's not like, it doesn't matter that much. But the equivalent, you know, if I don't know, when a dragon kills someone for the first time, if the person they kill is fucking David Beckham, it'll be crap.
Can I say, by the way, talking of accents and all, in their review of King Arthur, talking about David Beckham, Empire magazine called Beckham's cameo a misguided fist biter of a performance. Almost impressive when you consider it features a man who's actually from Leytonstone playing an unconvincing cockney.
Yeah, it is funny.
Like, just shout.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that would be better. I understand there's way more to acting than that, but when,
with this kind of time frame and this kind of, like, the almost like realistic fantasy kind of time, like, a lot of Game of Thrones actors are shite and they've not had a career after it because they're kind of stage schooly, kind of like chewing the scenery kind of thing. So you can get away with being absolute ham in a fantasy setting.
Do you think that, so then do you think if that performance there was delivered exactly the same way for someone who was unknown
in the shape of water,
it wouldn't even be noticed. It wouldn't even be noticed, right?
Yeah. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
I don't know. You know, it is strikingly jarring, but then again, it's impossible to see it without the context just describing.
Well, he's actually fine in Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Got some chops.
Guy Ritchie,
a chop.
Yeah.
He's definitely got one chop.
Guy Ritchie, a man you respect, Luke, I know.
We just think similarly on a lot of things.
He still backs Beckham's acting skills and he said he's a talented actor, very confident on camera. He was quite a tasty footballer, wasn't he?
Not relevant.
The last bit is masking your
the last bit is just not relevant.
No, it's not relevant at all.
You might as well be saying he cooks a great steak. Well, doesn't matter.
Another tasty footballer, talking of steak, who currently still is a footballer, Neymar.
This one's amazing.
Yeah, appears.
I wasn't aware of this until recently.
Well, now, he does appear as himself, and I know we were going to sort of caveat that and so on, but actually, I think this is...
It's slightly more than a cameo, though.
Yeah, it's a bit more than... Yes, he does appear as himself, but he's very much immersed in a mad story.
In the plot,
yeah, it's not like in Goal where, you know, you meet a couple of footballers who are playing for the club they're playing for and they're in a bar and they just go high or something, you know. He's in a Triple X Return of Xander Cage. Samuel Jackson meets him at a Chinese restaurant in Brazil and attempts to recruit him as the newest Triple X agent.
It's amazing as well because Neymar's like, you know, it's not for me, I'm not a hero. Why is this happening?
Yeah.
And then
audience are thinking
as well. Exactly, yeah. As he's walking off, some convenient armed robbers come into the restaurant. Neymar picks up a napkin holder, just boots it at one of the guy's head, and just knocks him out.
Class.
And L. Jackson's like, you are, as I call him, it's like you are a hero after all. And then a satellite crashes into the restaurant, blows them both up. Apparently, at the end of the movie, they faked their own deaths, and Neymar has become a member of the Triple X organization. It's like, how do you fake your own death when a satellite crashes into a restaurant that you're in?
It's quite an expensive way of faking it. Can I just talk?
Just fall down some stairs.
You saw that you've done that before. What, like when Uncle Albert does in Only Fools and Horses?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Can I just point out in this as well, the reason this is super cynical is because if you watch the clip, Neymar doesn't actually appear in shot with anyone else.
No.
So it's clearly been done as a little tack-on thing later on, completely separately. Even when he kicks the napkin holder, you don't see him do it. You just see like a stunt double doing it.
Yeah.
And it's just cuts between him and Samuel Jackson the whole time. And you just think to yourself, I know Samuel L. Jackson's done some stuff. Fair enough.
He's cashed in, isn't he?
But he's sat there talking to no one so they can cut really Neymar into a movie.
So many clips in movies of people talking to no one. But it's impressive that you can actually tell in this one.
Yeah. But you talk a lot about how films are recut for like Chinese.
How many people are in Brazil? 200,000?
So it's just basically done for that reason.
200,000. 200 million.
At least 200,000.
At least 200,000.
It's amazing how many World Cups they've won. It's such a small population, really. You're less sympathetic towards Iceland when you hear that. So that was definitely in a bad category. What about some sort of weirder ones with football cameos? Robbie Keane playing a Mormon in Mrs. Brown's Boys.
This is... for those who haven't seen it, we'll share it on the social media, and I'd love for our listeners to get in touch with some of their own ideas. Maybe we could do a second part of this. But anyway,
we can't cover all of them.
Keane, Mrs. Brown's Boys thing, I think it's very difficult in our role as broadcasters to manufacture the words to properly articulate how odd it is.
Yeah.
Like it's very hard to understand what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And that's probably because no one really watches Mrs. Brown's Boys anyway, that we know. It's a very, it's popular, very popular program, but not for our...
My mum loves it.
Yeah. Does she really?
Yeah, well, obviously, there's one. But I think with Robbie Keane... So, obviously, Robbie Keane's probably a fan of the show. Mm. And we've seen this before when people are fans of the show, and obviously they're celebrities.
Apparently, he's apparently repeatedly rang Brendan O'Carroll. Yeah,
exactly.
Part,
so, yeah. So you think to yourself, hang on, we can get in a famous footballer here. He's Irish as well, you know, fits the bill, blah, blah, blah. Why not? Now they get him in and they think, oh yeah, but he's not an actor, is he? Like, what are we going to do? And one of the things I think to get around somebody who's not actor, or to help them, would be do a different accent. Because if you think about it, you're already pretending to be something
no,
else.
That's extra yes. work.
No. But I think that might help. Because I think if you're struggling to pretend to be someone else, well, if you can do an accent,
the key word there is, or key term there is, if you can do an accent.
Well, I think they have obviously asked Robbie and they've said, what about that as an option? I can do American. They go, okay, great. Don't worry, we won't check.
Yeah, spoiler.
Yeah,
he plays a Mormon.
By the way, alongside snooker player Ken Doherty, isn't
yeah,
it?
The darling of Dublin. He's great to see him. Yeah.
So most of it's clearly been purged from the internet because the only clip we can find is kind of without context, isn't it? Where Robbie Keane is already in Mrs.
Pete,
Brown's.
What's the premise
room?
Of Mrs. Brown's Boys?
It seems very slipshod, doesn't it? It didn't seem to be.
Because to me, it's
sweary nana in a room.
Yeah, it's an old-fashioned sitcom, like almost like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where the live studio was, yeah. And every so often, Brendan O'Carroll, as Mrs. Brown comes in and says, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah,
and
falls
and
over.
She breaks the fourth
You've just
wall,
got to know. It's,
breaks the Hoover.
Breaks the Hoover.
All they're
breaks
doing
the
is
wall,
it's yeah. all about the crack. That's all it is. That's all you got to know.
Just tell about the crack.
Are you still going to play Nick Hewer in the biopic?
Well,
there's been rumours.
If they return my calls.
Would you do the grey hair and put the glasses on? And
I'd do the whole lot.
Yeah?
The whole
thing. The wig, the glasses, the catchphrase.
You know I would. I'm there.
Do you remember Tony Cotty getting shot in
yes!
in Final Score?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
That was a great bit of acting because when I saw it, I actually thought he
really
got shot.
He was dead.
But he was alongside Matt Lorenzo, the presenter who...
It was in the studio as a pundit, right?
That's right. Yeah. So Lorenzo's presenting. Tony Cotty, though.
Tony Cotty.
When he gets shot, he's like, I don't know, he goes forward. And I think he's like, they've just gone, you know what, just pretend to dive like you're trying to win a penalty. Cotty's gone, right enough, boom, and off he goes.
Yeah. The great thing about Tony Cotty is he's famously got a Rain Man type ability to remember every single goal he scores in his career.
Is that right?
Didn't save him, though, did it?
No, it didn't.
Didn't save his life.
I'll tell you what, though, that's the thing. Gentlemen, should we finish on perhaps the most bizarre and enjoyable of this? Because Ian Wright, who is a national treasure, there's no two ways about that. Charismatic, once had his own chat show. He's on all the channels doing all the punditry.
Had a little stint presenting Gladiators, didn't he?
He did. The whole shooting match, Ian Wright can do it all. He starred, I didn't know this until today, he starred in the 2011 film Son of the Black Gun. The film's bio is as follows. A Nazi Luger pistol from World War II with dark and mystical powers re-emerges in modern-day Bucharest and is taken to London. En route, it falls into the hands of a media mogul intent on using its power to bring the return of the Fourth Reich through technology and music.
It's just words. You can't zone out of it for a second. When you come back, you're so confused.
And music.
Yes. The trailer is fascinating. The trailer has a filter on it that for some reason makes it look like the screen's bleeding. It's really strange.
Well, like the start of James Bond where he shoots
it's sort of
camera.
Like that, but all the time, and there's no prompt for
oozing
it.
Oozing away.
Is this part of Ian Wright's, I mean, as Pete Donaldson often repeats, is Ian Wright's famous ability just to do anything?
Yeah. Well,
he'll just do any job.
But it's 2011, it's a bit late on. Maybe he was thinking, oh, I need to...
He's still very charismatic in it, despite how obviously ridiculous it is.
Well, of course he is, but at the time when he was doing his chat show and all the rest of it, that was a few years before. So actually, it wasn't at the height of his... Well, clearly not. With the film, none of us have seen it.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that...
Whenever you sort of hear it's like Bucharest, gangster film set in London...
Fourth Reich.
You sort of go...
Tax write-off.
You sort of go, tax write-off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying this is the case.
No. We're definitely not saying that.
Definitely not that.
It's not for us to say, is it?
No.
Can I bring a weird bonus one?
Please.
Brian Clough was in an episode of Boone. He just John Hannah and Neil Morrissey are in the same.
No one's going to know what Boone
episode.
Is.
No, I don't even know what
so
Boone is.
Boone was one of those programs that was probably on a Sunday in the 80s and 90s that would bore you in a way that is simply impossible now. if you are from beyond that era, I promise you, you've never been bored. You think you've been bored. Yeah. You've not been bored like you were bored on a Sunday in the 80s.
Oh, bloody
it's
hell,
just
yeah.
the worst thing in the world.
That is a great description.
Can I just add to that? Michael Elphick plays a character called Ken Boone, who's an ex-fireman and now a motorcycle-obsessed small-time businessman who at the same time acts as a private investigator, bodyguard and troubleshooter.
It sort of pitches that, by the way. 100 episodes.
What?
You're absolutely right.
Like, 93 I think, episodes for 10 years.
I think this is just ridiculous. British television tried to do the population a solid by making Sunday afternoon so bad you didn't mind when Monday popped up, did you?
Yeah.
Because you kind of thought, well, yeah, fair enough. Well, at least we're past that kind of thing. But you're right, nowadays. But I'm going to chuck in another one very quickly.
Sorry, Brian Clough just happens to be in a pub that the characters are in, by the way.
I don't mind that. It's a more innocent time.
Whereas with Graham Souness in The Boys from the Black Stuff,
Souness is
in there.
Yeah,
Souness is in there.
There's a thing on the running order here. It says, if you need it, who from modern football would you love to see in a remake of a classic film?
Yeah.
I don't want this to go unsaid.
Yes. Go on.
Harry and Charlie Kane, Blues Brothers. Can you imagine them in the suits?
Really good.
The Blues Brothers would
really
be great.
Love that.
One of them is a bit taller than the other. It'll work.
Yeah. Or what about Twins with Danny DeVito and
Schwarzenegger?
Uh-huh.
I'd quite like to see Pep Guardiola have a go at any role. To see if he could not be himself.
You said earlier, Bond.
Yeah, maybe Bond. What, but just anything, though. I'd stretch it to anything, because the man can't not be himself. He's the most himself of any person.
If Pep Guardiola's Bond, right, he gets into a situation...
He'd be Q, not Bond.
No, but if he was Bond, instead of sorting the situation out, he would be like walking up to the people and going, why are you doing that?
No, that's what I mean.
It wouldn't be believable.
If Bond goes to
this
Q,
is a better way to do this.
Yeah.
Is it Q's the guy with all the gadgets?
Yes.
Yeah. So if Bond went to Pep Guardiola's queue, he'd be in there for days. You've got to be able to explain and how everything works, and then you've got to stand here, right, and then walk in that channel, and you go, and if you're going to fire this gun, you have to be stood in this little box.
Sorry, is that Nathan Redmond? The lab coat
he's
on.
Like 006 or whatever.
Nathan Redmond.
Why are you not 007 yet?
Nathan Redmond's got a lab coat on, like glasses, a pen and clipboard.
Oh dear.
Yeah
there you are.
Let's end this now.
Yeah. Pete, anyone from modern
let's
football you'd
here.
Like to see remake a classic film?
Let's get on here.
Come
it's
on
right. It's fine.
You sure?
Don't have one. Get all out right.
Okay, fair enough. There we are, you see. Kevin Keegan is MacGyver.
No one knows who MacGyver is. MacGyver's slightly too old for us.
I'm back in again now. I want him to have a bit more of this, please.
MacGyver would go on like Saturday afternoon. Oi, no one would watch
it. He'd be one of the Dukes of Hazzard, but it wouldn't play out as the Dukes of Hazzard did.
Yeah.
So the Dukes of Hazzard is more, you know, accessible than MacGyver.
You
Jesus.
People are gonna...
Get your head into the century market.
And they've been cancelled, so you can't even fucking say
they?
Yes. Oh. I'll tell you why afterwards.
Well, truly Dukes of Hazzard then.
Yeah. My racist. Goodness. Next.
Right, okay. Forget that. Thank you for joining us, everybody, on another Football Ramble Guide 2. Remember, we want your ideas for what to talk about next. We've had loads so far, and we're going to work through our favourites as the season goes on. If you fancy learning more about one of football's quirks or grand old traditions, then get in touch and tell us. Email us, show@footballramble.com, or tweet us @footballramble with your suggestions. Thank you, gentlemen. See you next
See
time.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.
I was confused by Pete.
Yeah.
He's miles away.
I was watching Stan Cully and I have a wank.
Right, Basic Instinct 2.
In
Basic
oh, that was going to be my answer. Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Sorry, can you go on Marcus Spiller?
Okay.
Yeah.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.